We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your network and community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Megan Shasma. Megan is the co-owner of Odie's Deli and Honey Wheat Catering in Saldanha, Alaska. She has a Bachelor of Science in Economics from the Missouri University of Science and Technology. She lives in Saldanha with her main cohort and husband, Andy, and their persnickety cat, Sophie. Megan, welcome to the show.
Hey, Lori. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. I'm wondering if I butchered the name of your hometown.
No, I think you did pretty good. Yeah, it's Saldanha. It can be a tricky one when you look at it.
Fantastic. So I'm going to start out right away wondering how you went from education in economics to choosing food service as your career of choice?
I was one of those kids, like my first job was, I was on at Carhop actually. So I started in food service just sort of on accident because I had a friend that worked there. So I got a job there too, because it'd be fun to work together. And then just kind of kept going back to food service all through college. Always work in food service, and cash tips are always great when you're a college kid. And then after I graduated with my degree, I ended up working at a big corporate job, just the kind of job you're supposed to get when you graduate with your bachelor's, and very quickly realized that it was not for me. I was not made for corporate America. And so I picked up everything and I moved to Boston and I spent some time trying to figure out what I was going to do, and wound up restaurant purely on accident, which is a funny story. And then I kind of just got the bug, and I've moved out of food service a couple of different times, but every time I come back to what I love, which is the fast paced environment, and it's always changing and there's a lot going on and it's not super, not always super structured. And I thrive on the little bit of chaos.
I think it fits your personality too, from what I know about you.
Probably.
Very fun. So what are the most rewarding or challenging parts working in your industry?
Working in food is always, any kind of customer facing job is always going to be challenging, especially when it's the public that you're working with on a daily basis. But a lot of the things that are the most challenging and most rewarding are the same. You know, it's super fast paced, which is great. So you can get a lot done in a short amount of time and you can change things really quickly and move things really quickly. But that can also be like really challenging and really hard some days. You know, your work is never done when you're in a kitchen. There's always something to do. Always, always, always. And so, you know, you get to the end of the day and you're like, wow, I accomplished a lot. But you can also get to the end of the day and be like, oh my goodness, I have so much to accomplish. And I think almost any career feels that way sometimes. And then just that food in general is always changing, what's going on and how you're marketing it and what people are looking for and people's dietary restrictions. And there's always things changing and evolving in that world. And so staying on top of that is really great to see, you know, when you get it right. It's really good.
I bet it is. So as someone who is extremely passionate about food, I need to ask, what is your favorite food?
Tacos. Always, always tacos. I will never, ever attempt to do Mexican food of any kind, because it's one of those things like, you don't make your hobby your job, because then you'll learn to not love it. And so I will let everyone else be very good at tacos and I will just consume them, but not make them.
That's fantastic. Okay. Well, let's dive into some networking related questions now. Can you share with me your most successful or favorite networking story that you've had?
I would say my favorite networking story is probably, it starts with the story of how I met you, Lori. I actually, when I moved up to Alaska, one of the things that a lot of people just don't realize is how far away everything is. And so living in Soldotna is a town of about, our community is probably around 20,000 people, and not necessarily our town's only like three, but you know, the surrounding towns and stuff. And then we're 2.5 hours south of Anchorage, which is where the majority of the people in Alaska live. And so there's quite a bit of networking to be had up in Anchorage, but down in Soldotna, it's difficult. It's hard. It's hard to find mentors, and it's hard to find, you know, just even people that are doing things the way you want to do them, inspired by. And so, there was this series of restaurants that I knew were connected. I could tell by their marketing that they were similar, but I didn't know the story behind them. Come to find out, they're all owned by the same woman in Anchorage. And I kind of like, of course, I Googled her and tried to find out everything I could about her. And I got her name when I was like, I'm going to call her. And so then it took me like 4 months to work up the nerve to call her. And so I finally did. And of course, I just got one of like her, one of the people that worked at a restaurant, one of her restaurants. And she was like, well, here's her email. Why don't you just email her? And so I wrote her an email, and it basically said like, hey, I think you're the bee's knees. I want to come pick your brain and you tell me how things are done. And she was like, okay, cool. Come on up. And I was like, wait, what? And so this really phenomenal woman who owns four of the best restaurants in Anchorage just absolutely was like, yeah, sure. Just come sit in my office and talk to me. That's totally cool. And she is actually the woman that told me about 10,000 Small Businesses, which is where you and I met. Mm-hmm. And she had been through the program and suggested it for me, and has repeatedly just been this really amazing resource. And I don't come in connections with her at all. That one was a purely like, I'm brave and make a cold call. And it worked out because she was willing to put herself out there for me. So that's probably one of my favorites.
That is an awesome story, because obviously I got to meet you because of that experience. But more importantly, I think the message there is you don't know until you ask. You know, nothing's going to happen if you're just sitting still. So I love that you just kind of conquered your fear. Maybe it took you 4 months to conquer it. But how awesome is that? I bet you had an amazing conversation with her, and you probably still are in touch with her. I'm sure you've got all these great, like how awesome 10,000 Small Businesses was. And I mean, wow, that's a fantastic story.
It's been really great. She's been just an incredible resource, and not someone that I talk to super frequently, but just someone you know is there in your back pocket that you can call and be like, I have this weird problem and I don't know. I don't even know how to approach it right now. Or, you know, if we just happen to be in town, then stop by and say hi. So, and her business is doing incredible things. And so it's always wonderful to watch that and be like, all right, she's been doing this for 20 years. I've been doing this for, you know, this point, the 17 more years. This is what it could look really fun.
That's so awesome. So, you know, regardless if you have a large network or a small network, it's very important to continue to nurture that network. What do you do to stay in front of and best nurture your network or your community?
One of the things that I find works best for me, because I'm super busy and I always have things there, you know, just I constantly put out fires all day long. It's just the nature of what I do. And so for me, it's reacting when I think of something. So if somebody comes to my mind, you know, Lori, I am just getting ready in the morning and I see something that reminds me of you, or, you know, your husband Andy or whoever, like if something reminds me of you, I'm going to do it immediately. Send you a text message. Hey, thought of you because of such and such. That is the best way I find to keep on top of staying in contact with people. Because if I sit down and make this like deliberate attempt, to like, I'm going to reach out to 5 people today. Like I can feel forced and I get distracted and I'm maybe not focusing on like the people that I need to be. Whereas if I just reach out who come to my mind throughout the day and I'm reaching out as they come to my mind, It's a lot more genuine. And I feel like genuine contact is always going to be better than frequent contact.
Oh, I am a huge fan of the genuine contact. And it's an interesting approach. Like I always am thinking like, oh, I should reach out to this person, or this whatever article made me think of, you know, this person. But to actually just take action on it immediately, so that it doesn't get lost in the chaos.
Well, my life is chaos all the time. And so if I don't do it immediately, it will. It'll just fall to the wayside. But and it's something it's I've had to train myself to do, because I think often, oh, this person's probably busy or it's maybe not a good time. But shooting a text message to someone or an email isn't going to disrupt their day. You know, we aren't necessarily going to be taking away from their day by telling them that we thought of them. If anything, most of the time, it's going to encourage them to, you know, maybe it makes their day, or maybe it encourages them to do it for other people as well.
Do you find that that adds to your chaos though? Or that's just what you prefer?
That's what I prefer.
Okay.
I add to my chaos. I feel like for me, when I think of someone or something and then I go, okay, I need to remember to do this later, that thought just like hangs around in your head all day, where they just, then it's gone. You've made that connection, you know, you sent that to them, and you can go back through like later, you're scrolling through your text messages. Like, oh yeah, I messaged that person. Like, you know, it just gives you I guess getting it out of your head and just doing it is for me what works most. Of course, that doesn't work if you're needing to write like a, you know, a super professional or well-worded, if you need to be really careful about the way that you're making contact, talking about, like you said, like either go, hey, read this article, thought of you, wanted to pass it on. That's a really easy way to make things, for me, it clears up my brain and makes less contact at the same time.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. All right, so what advice would you offer to the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
I would say one of the best networking tools that I wasn't ever taught and have just kind of learned over the years, I volunteer. You are going to make some of your best networking connections while you're volunteering on something that maybe doesn't have anything to do with what you're looking to network in. I find the reason that is, again, it goes back to those genuine connections, those genuine contacts. You know, when you're working on something that isn't focused on either of the two of you, I find it's easier to make connections with people. It's easier to make conversation. If you're both, you know, setting up an event or something like that, and you're moving chairs around together, easy to ask questions. Oh, what's your name? What do you do? Where are you from? Oh, how long have you been doing that? Because neither one, you're not just standing there staring at each other, knowing that the other one is also looking for networking. Feels more organic. And those, again, just end up feeling much more genuine than I went to a networking event and I collected these 15 business cards. And common ground. So when you want to call that person, like, hey, I need to know about, you know about this thing that I need to know about. You know, your introduction to the conversation is, hey, this is Megan. We met at, you know, the Project Homeless event. Hey, I was curious about, you mentioned such and such. I feel like it gives them a frame of reference and you get to know them a little bit better in a more casual way that often feels, like I said, more genuine, I think.
Oh, I love that. I think it's definitely a creative way to build your network, but also you're doing good, you know, you're putting in your time and kind of that feel good. So you're feeling good because you're donating your time or services and this other person's feeling good. So it just kind of makes it easier to build those relationships. That's fantastic advice for sure.
And I also think that you're going to meet the kind of people that you probably want to be networked with, because the person that you're stacking chairs with to prep for an event or clean up for an event or something is the same kind of person that you probably want to be doing business with, that you probably want to be having business conversations or community conversations. Those are the people you want in your life, or at least I do.
No, totally. That definitely makes sense. All right. So digital networking or traditional networking, which one do you find more value in?
For me, it's traditional. Always a face-to-face human contact is always going to trump reaching out digitally. Of course, I mean, there's so much value in digital networking, and I feel like digital networking is just this amazing tool that you can use for traditional networking rather than relying on it solely. But in my business, face-to-face contact is a really important part of the hospitality industry of any kind, is that actual human interaction. So yeah, but that's for me.
And it absolutely makes sense. I mean, you're selling your, not only just food, but the personality that comes behind that. And I can only imagine that you've got fantastic relationships and you probably have a number of repeat customers because of that experience that you're delivering beyond just, quality food.
Yeah, it's a really important thing. People want to know that they are seen and heard and cared about in that really basic way. Eye contact, a smile, a welcome. Mm-hmm. Those are really important pieces of, that customer relationship, that one networking relationship.
If you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
Oh man, this one, there were so many pieces and parts that I was like, okay, I'm going to narrow it down. one of the things I would definitely tell myself to do more of is keep in contact. I wish I had learned sooner to reach out to people when I thought about them, to, keep data in your phone, or maybe not in your phone because you're going to lose your phone multiple times, in your email, something like that. Keep in contact and make notes about people if you get a chance to, so that you remember. Definitely more of that, keeping in contact. The thing I would do less of would be, I constantly underestimated myself at 20. I thought I was bothering people when I reached out to them. I thought that I would never be able to manage people because if I didn't know the job, I couldn't teach someone else to do a job. I constantly underestimated who I was and what I was capable of. And part of that was because I thought I had to have it all together right then. Like if I didn't know it at 20, I wasn't going to know it at 30. There wasn't a lot of perspective on how much growth could be achieved in that time period. Mm-hmm. And so that would definitely just stop underestimating yourself and just do the things you're good at and the things you'd love to do. And the thing that I think I would do differently, I think I might be involved in different things. I've always been super, super involved, but some of them I think I could have made different decisions about the lasting impact that I was making, where I was spending my time and my energy. I've always been involved in lots of things, but what was that time and energy actually going towards? And how is it building for the future? Making really conscious, intentional decisions about my time and energy.
Oh, I love that. Really diving into the actions you're taking and how they're going to impact your future, really. Pretty deep analysis there of your 20-year-old self. Very, very...
Well, try to be deep on this side because I don't think I really was at 20.
I don't think any of us were. But it's so true, the time that you're investing. I mean, even now, today, the time you're investing now, what is that going to be playing out like in the next, 1, 3, 5 years? The actions that you're doing now, how are they going to be impacting your future? And it's so important. And I think, in our 20s, we're so focused on what's in front of us right now. There isn't a lot of thought into, what does 10 years, 20 years down the road look like for us?
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's because at that point, you think life's going to last forever. Like not everyone, I was fortunate enough to not have a really difficult life that felt like I had really big things that had happened to me to analyze my life, my time and age, and some people sooner than later. But I kind of like to knock me upside the head and be like, hey, stop talking for a minute and think about your life, reflect on things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, it's good to do that. I think everyone should definitely do that. All right.
Absolutely.
So switch it up here. So we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Now, who would be the one person you'd love to connect with? And do you think you could do it within the sixth degree?
Okay. So for me, I think keeping it on track of like work and networking for work, the person I would love to connect with would be Danny Meyer. Danny Meyer is, I don't know what his official title is, but he's the founder of the Union Square Restaurant Group in New York City. And so he has a ton of phenomenal restaurants, 11 Madison Park, the Union Square, Shake Shack is Danny Meyer, and a huge variety of restaurants from all over the map. And he is just this incredible restaurateur, and he has this amazing insight on hospitality and what that should look like. And he has a company called Hospitality Quotient, and they teach businesses of all kinds to bring hospitality principles into their businesses, even if it's a more traditional corporate tech business or anything like that. Like, how do you make your business better by involving these hospitality principles? And so I just think he has a great story. He's done a lot of really cool things and continues to do a lot of cool things. He didn't just do one thing really well. And he's definitely a serial entrepreneur. And I love people like that. His book, Setting the Table, is one of my all-time favorites.
Oh, okay. That's a good trend.
That happen, I feel like.
So he seems really intriguing. So how would you go about making that happen?
I probably would start with chefs that I worked in Boston. And, you know, you get to chefs that you work in Boston, and then their owners of, you know, there's a couple of big restaurant groups in Boston, and those people would probably know some of the same people in New York City in those restaurant groups, and like Union Square Restaurant Group. And I could go that route. I have an ex-owner of a restaurant I manage in Boston who now owns several restaurants in similar areas as Danny in New York City. So that might be a contact, but I could explore that option. I think I could work that out.
All right. So when are you going to start that?
after I get this catering company off the ground. Right. Okay. Now that's all of my time and energy is building a new business.
Fantastic. I can't wait to hear more about Honey Wheat Catering. It's fun following Odie's on social media. You post some great images. I know I follow you on Instagram and Facebook.
Thank you. Yeah, we have a lot of fun. That's something I've had to learn to get better at for sure.
I'm sure once you get Honey Wheat rolling, it'll definitely be just as exciting. So you mentioned...
Thank you.
You know that Danny's got a book, not Hospitality Quotient. That's the name of his business, which sounds really interesting.
I think there might be a Hospitality Quotient book too, but Setting the Table book that really
which is a great name for a book when you're in the food industry.
Yeah, it is.
So what book are you reading now?
Yeah, it is. So I'm always reading several novels. I'm reading Wildwood by Colin Molloy, Career of Evil by... Robert Galbraith, who's actually J.K. Rowling. So I always have novels going on. That's my like wind down time. But as far as like business goes, I'm reading a book that was recommended by another 10KSB cohort member called Tribal Leadership. And it's all about kind of using natural groups to create and what that looks like in a more organic way. And it's really fascinating. So that is by Dave Logan, John King, and Haley Fisher Wright.
I have not heard of that one, so I'm going to have to add that one to my reading list.
Yeah, Adrian recommended that to me, and it's really great.
Nice. So any final word or advice that you'd like to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
I would say, talk to people. Ask questions. Find out about other people. It will naturally happen that people are going to ask about you if you ask about them. Volunteer, of course, like I said earlier. Make connections. If you see somebody like, oh man, these two people should meet, make that happen. And the last one is just be brave. Just be brave when you want to meet someone or you want to make a connection or you want to go to a new place and be involved with a group of people that you think are doing cool things. Just be brave.
I love that. Ask the questions, find out about the other person. And well, your last one, be brave. That is so true. I mean, you just put the proof in the pudding with that first story that you shared about, you know, getting over that fear. And, you know, maybe it took you 4 months to muster up the courage, but look at how much awesomeness just came from, you know, you picking up that phone or sending her an email and then just, wow, that's so awesome. But that's pure bravery and heart and soul right there. So I could not agree with that any further. All right.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So Megan, if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way that they can reach you?
Pretty much any social media is pretty easy. You can either find Honeyweight Cater or Odizia. I personally run both of those accounts, so you can message me on there, or you can just email me at odiesdeli@gmail.com. But yeah, just message me on social media. It's probably the easiest way for anybody.
All right, and we will include those links in the show notes. Thanks so much, Megan, for being on the show. This was a ton of fun. I loved our conversation.
Oh, thank you, Lori. So I appreciate you thinking of me when you're doing this, and I love what you're doing. It's fantastic. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks. I'm loving it too. It's so much fun having conversations about networking. Well, this wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Megan for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.